Morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overleaf Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
And I'm your host, Garrett Giles, and again, joining us this morning for the Green Country Gardener is the Green Country Gardener himself, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And if you have any questions for him, as Charlie mentioned, the number to call is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. I'll read them one more time for you in case you didn't catch it, 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, the sun is out for now, but there is some more rain coming.
No, it ain't going to rain.
You don't think so? You think it's just going to dwindle out, phase out, and be gone?
No, it's not going to
be gone with you, rain.
Yeah, my schedule, my poor crippled schedule.
I can't imagine it's easy to get out with considering how much rain we've had.
You would not believe how much mud is on me when I get home.
Yeah, normally people, you know, this weekend is Sunfest, and people are always, like, out and about and declaring it as Mudfest. It's actually relatively dry over there at Sooner Park.
It's relatively dry. Sooner Park is fine. Mm-hmm. It drains real well. They did a good job of engineering that dam over there.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a good thing to go to this weekend. Mm-hmm. The weather's just perfect for it.
Knock on wood. Hopefully things don't change drastically in a moment. Yeah. People are having to flee for the bathroom to take shelter.
Nothing's supposed to happen until this afternoon and tonight, so I think it'll be it. Now, tomorrow might be a washout, perhaps, but today's going to be a very good day, so get out to...
A good day for gardening, right?
Perfect day, yeah. The soil moisture is good. So you can at least break up the soil. We planted a tree this week out in an area south of town that traditionally would have been very difficult to do because the soil is kind of old and compacted, and it was really easy.
<That's>
Almost
good.
So guilty because we just got in and out so quick. But anyway, and of course it was windy and we staked up the tree and all that.
Got to take the wind there though, right?
Yeah. So anyway, so unusually wet weather has caused maybe a few problems with some plants. I noticed my iris plants are having some issues with too much moisture. Iris are pretty good about surviving, so I wouldn't worry too much about them. There's some stem anthracnose, a little bit on some Bradfords. Some of the maples have a little bit of leaf anthracnose on them. It causes the leaves to wrinkle up a little bit, which is typical of what happens when we have a moist, wet spring. So,
which we definitely have had, yes. If you haven't figured that out by now.
As far as the roses are concerned, I've seen a little bit of... I have seen a little bit of sporadic black spot on roses. Fortunately, though, it's been cool enough throughout this bout of weather we've had in the past where the fungal build breakouts haven't really been that bad on roses. But in light of the warm weather we've had the last 2 days, we've had a little bit of issue with a couple of roses at the nursery developing black spots.
So, and how do you prevent that from happening further?
Use a fungicide.
Okay.
Real well. It works pretty, and we applied that to our roses, and aphids were a real problem too. We had an aphid outbreak, got rid of those real quick too, so
it's good.
What else is new? I mean, the battle goes on. As far as lawn problems are concerned, I don't see a lot of problems with people's lawns. In fact, my yard is actually prospering on my rock pile.
Heck yes.
It looks really good right now.
For now. Yeah.
when the rain quits.
It's now June. We'll see how it lasts this month.
Three days after the rain quits, I'm out having no water in my yard because the rock does not hold much water. So anyway, it's looking really good. So I'm very pleased with that. I haven't really seen very many daylily problems yet. Probably if the sun doesn't shine this week, we're going to have some issues with some rot on some daylilies. And they're just now starting to set on some blooms at this point in time, so the timing is not good for that. So, watch your daylilies and put an electric fan on them to dry them out. But if we do get some breaks in the weather, some sun, a little bit of wind associated with this, perhaps it won't be so bad.
You kind of treat them like animals, so bring them inside, keep them dry.
Yeah, make a little daylily pet bed in the garage.
Right. At least for now. Then you got to put them back outside.
But daylilies are a plant that put on a really, really nice show for a fairly long period of time. And the good thing about them is they can take the heat quite well. So you might consider slopping some of those in the mud while you're at the nursery. And people are coming with questions, problems with plants and questions, and most of them are weather related. And a lot of the plants have a way of surviving a wet spell like this. So it's probably not overly serious, the problem. You're going to have some bad looking leaves on it, but it's not going to hurt the plant really well.
Well, a second round of rain, and if potentially, you know, the water kind of holds like it did the last time, really hurt the flowers?
Not really.
Okay.
Your annual flowers would be all right. The plants that are having a bit of an issue on the annual flowers are the periwinkles. The impatiens and begonias are loving it. I mean, they're just ecstatic over
it. Having a heyday.
Yeah.
It's a rain party.
So they're doing just fine. And but what's going to happen is on a lot of your shrubs and some of your trees and plants, when the rain quits, we're going to have some problems with the plants. Because what happens when it's consistently moist, as long as it has been, and as long as it will be this coming week, cross your fingers it won't happen. Part of the root system is lost, typically from rot, from being underwater so long, because a lot of these plants aren't really well suited for being underwater. And you can expect some damage on your plants because of that.
So, now when you have the root rot, what kind of damages kind of stem from that?
But the first sign is that the very tips of the leaves, tips of the plants, they sort of turn black and they curl in a little bit. It looks like they've been, looks like they're too dry because they can't take up enough water to support the top because you've lost part of the root system. Now, to alleviate this problem, probably one of the better things you can do is to work up the soil a little bit around your plants so it has a chance to aerate a bit. If there's good aeration in the soil, in other words, if you prepare the soil properly, I know I've said this for the last 20 years, prepare the soil properly with compost in the soil, you shouldn't have much of a problem with your plants. But our soil here is traditionally tight, kind of heavy, and in extended wet periods, we do have issues with rotting of the roots.
It's kind of funny you mentioned it, too, that you've been talking about this for 20 years. A practice doesn't really change. It works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why change it?
We've been through droughts and freezes and whatever.
And it still works.
And floods and all that. So anyway, so just if your plants are kind of sitting in water for a long time, you might go ahead and break up that soil a little bit on the surface. Don't go very deep because you can damage the roots. But break it up so it can aerate a little bit. What happens when you have a lot of rain like this is the rain beats down on the soil and it compacts it, and you get anaerobic stuff.
Now, you're talking about breaking up the soil. I mean, obviously, there are some tools that you can use. What tools would you recommend for people to use? How deep should they break up the ground?
Probably no deeper than, say, an inch or two, really, for your plants. And a tool you can use would be just a garden rake or a tater fork. Tater forks, I like those.
Tater fork.
Even a hay fork.
Maybe want some drilling. Sonic right now. Tater fork.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
but anyway, or just something like that. Even a little trowel will work just to loosen up the soil, or a shovel. I just take a shovel and kind of hit it on the ground and hit and twist a little bit, just so it'll breaks up that surface.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with my plants because I prepare the soil.
I'm gonna knock on wood for you.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Please do. Yeah. But anyway, so that's kind of something we can do to be prepared for what's going to happen after all this rain is gone. We are going to have a diminished root system on your plants, and we need to try to aerate the soil so those roots can recover from the damage that is being done to them at this point. So be prepared for that, too. Okay. And so that's kind of what to prepare for the weather. Probably the most frequently asked question this week is, why are parts of my tree dying? And some people, you look at it and they bring pictures, and, well, that doesn't tell me too much. But typically, depending on the species, it could be a borer problem. Borers are kind of a big problem here on newly planted trees, and they're very covert. They're below the bark, and they gnaw away at the wood in the phloem layer directly below the bark. And it's very difficult to see. So things like Japanese maples, fruit trees, members of the prunus family, typically are susceptible to borers. Now, what you can look for is close to the bottom of the ground, some sawdust around the tree. And that's it. And you say, what's the sawdust doing there? You know, who's going to cut my tree? But those are the borers in there, and they kick that out as they bore through. So borers are a problem. They get to be more of a problem as time goes on. So that's that would cause some sporadic die-off. And it goes on all species of plants. You get a juniper plant, for instance. Nothing bothers you. Juniper's right. Wrong.
Everything bothers the plants.
Yeah, and part of the juniper plant would just die off. And that's typically when it's a specific area like that, it's either bore damage or some kind of physical damage to the trunk. So you trace the trunk back to the tree and then see what's going on down there. And a lot of times if you cut it, you might even encounter the little critter inside the stem.
It'd be an interesting little encounter, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I've dug a few out with my pocket knife, too. That's the old-fashioned way to get rid of borers, is just dig them out.
How big do borers normally get?
They're about that big.
About the clicker point of a pen?
Yeah, they're not that big. There's flathead borers, which are a rather big one. They'll dig a rather large tunnel in the tree. And there's little, tiny little borers. There's all kinds of varieties of borers. What can you do to prevent the borers from happening? The imidacloprid works rather well. It's a systemic insecticide, and it's a nicotinoid. It stops the synapse, the movement of electricity through the synapses in your nervous system, specifically with insects. So that works rather well in that way. So, and that is systemic. You also pour it on the tree trunk itself and pour it in the ground as a drench. And the tree or plant draws this stuff up, and it poisons the insects as they gnaw away at the chemical that's absorbed by the root system. So it's a pretty good way to control them. It's easy. You just put it in a bucket and pour it on the ground, and you're done. Back to the recliner.
Fair enough. You're talking about...
Yeah, but don't use it on your fruit trees.
Right.
I think at the point when it gets up to the fruit trees, our bodies are so large that I don't think there's going to be much of a problem. And there's such a small amount in there. I don't think it's going to be much of a problem with us. But a smaller little beast that's real tiny like that has more of a problem than we do.
Now, you were talking about...
Still don't use it on your fruit trees.
Right, no. Just don't use it on the fruit trees. Don't do it. Just stop. There,
you do it on your fruit trees. You do a topical application of spinosad. Mm-hmm. And it works rather well to control the borers. And it's not toxic to mammals.
You, listening on your phone right now, streaming this show, just stop what you're doing. Do not put it on your fruit trees. Just stop. Like you were saying.
Oh, yeah. speaking of fruit trees, my cherry trees have just gone bananas. I got more cherries than... Jeez.
Bananas as in like a good way? You said that kind of like it was a bad thing.
No, they're just going bananas. I mean, okay. There's just tons of... I can't hardly pick it all. There's so many. On this one, the Montmorency cherry is really put on a really big...
Well, it's good, right? You said that would have been a problem if it didn't last time, I thought.
But it just really... good thing about that particular variety is the birds don't seem to like it. But it's a good sour cherry, and so I was there after work, up in a ladder, admiring this sea of red fruits on there. Not all of which I can't. There's no way I can pick them all.
It sounds pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, it is really.
I think we'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Currently 70 degrees and sunny skies. It's 8:21. We'll give you the phone number to call. We return next after this.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring has arrived, and like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in, and they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Hello, this is Kerry Hall with an important message for employers with self-funded or partially self-funded plans. Do you have employees who are type 1 or type 2 diabetics? David Hickman of the Health Insurance Cooperative Agency has a program for your employees that lets them obtain their diabetic supplies like test strips, glucose meters, and insulin for a fraction of what your employees are paying now. Reduce your costs. Call 866-257-5733 or online at HICINSUR.com.
And welcome back. I'm your host, Garrett Giles. Joining me is the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. On this Saturday morning, if you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 1-800-749-5936 or 918-336-1400. Larry, I was kind of getting those numbers confused there for a minute.
That's cool.
We were talking a little bit about trees and borers and how to get rid of them or prevent them from being in your trees.
Yeah, a good healthy plant is the best preventative thing, actually. The borers have a way of not attacking trees that are healthy. I guess mainly because the sugar levels in the sap is a little bit lower in a healthy tree, so they don't find them very attractive. So keep them healthy. In other words, water them when it gets droughty, fertilize them twice a year, keep them pruned. When you do prune them, don't leave a stub sticking out. Make it as flush as possible to the main trunk so they have a chance to heal over.
Okay.
So having borers is not an unusual thing. Some of them, I have maple trees in my front yard, and now and then a big branch falls down, and there are holes all in it where they've been in it. But it doesn't seem to hurt it any.
Okay.
I've been there for 15 years. Hadn't hurt them yet. But
hopefully it doesn't change. Like
I keep them healthy.
Keep them healthy.
Yeah.
Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've talked a lot about tomatoes. What should people be knowing about their tomatoes this week?
Mulching your tomatoes is a good thing. In light of the weather, you want to pick off the lower leaves on your tomatoes to where when it does rain, it doesn't splash up there. And on a caveat of that, the soil moisture is warm enough at this point to where you could apply mulch to your tomatoes, which will reduce significantly the amount of the bacteria being splashed up when you do irrigate or when it does rain. So I've had some good reports from people on their tomato progress, so I think it's going to be a pretty good year for tomatoes.
Very good year for tomatoes.
So unless it gets really, really hot or something. But anyway, they've had some good reports on people's tomatoes doing pretty well. You want to keep up the insect spray on your tomato plants. Use the spinosad or neem oil works very well to control a lot of critters in your tomatoes. It's an organic way. Both of those are organics to use in your tomatoes, and they're quite effective. So, hey, Kevin.
Hey, Larry.
How's
neem
your
oil. Oh, gosh, they're worthless. Oh. It just...
Well, yeah.
Amount of water.
Yeah. You should have big tomatoes at this point. Big old 5-pound
yeah.
cherry tomatoes.
I've yeah. have weeds... And you can't get in.
I know. You have a good collection out here by the satellite dish.
But they're dead.
Native vegetation.
They're dead. the amount of water we've had the month of May, I've heard anywhere from 16 to 20 inches.
Yes. Our moisture level we've had so far is equivalent to where we would be in the middle of July. In other words, we've had enough rain to carry us through.
Don't we normally
get
38 inches of rain
during a year? Yeah,
and we usually get it in about 2 or 3 weeks, don't we?
It goes down to the river, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Well, and, thank goodness for clay soil; it does hold the moisture pretty well.
So, have you dug down deep anywhere yet? Is there any moisture in the ground?
Yeah, we actually planted some trees. We had to pump them out.
You did.
We had to pump the Yeah, we have a little hand pump now we're bringing with us to get the
neem oil will control critters on your plants, won't it?
Yes.
It'll kill them?
Right. It works two ways. Number one, it smothers the insect by coating its exoskeleton to where it can't breathe.
Can you use those on my emerald, what's those tall?
Oh, emerald arborvitae?
Yeah.
You have to directly spray the insect. So
so you don't want to use that on
them. They have a protective cocoon around them very quickly after they get into the tree.
So what do you use on
that? If you can get them before they put that shroud around them, then you do okay. BT.
BT.
BT for
how many times am I going to have to spray it?
Probably twice, really. And I would probably get after it pretty soon.
Like in the next week or two?
Yeah. Like put an umbrella over your plant.
I know, because it's going to
wash it all away.
It's going to wash it away.
Nobody wants anything else to wash
away. Garrett's been busy this past 10 days.
You might look at them real close and see if you can see real tiny little ones on there, because it's the time of year when they start to come out.
Well, they're swimming right now.
I imagine the life cycle is delayed a little bit this year, perhaps. But you want to look real close at this point. And if you see them, you want to take some action before they...
Get some action on there, huh?
Yeah, before they get to be a problem, yeah.
Okay.
Pour diesel on them and catch them.
Diesel, that'll get them. There won't be any bugs in.
No way.
You know, weeds will be a problem, boars will be a problem, everything. You know, we flooded down there, my pastures, and cleaning up.
Yeah, so I rode my bicycle down there the other day.
You could have floated.
Yeah.
You could have brought your boat.
Yeah, I got some pictures of that too. So.
Well, we won't
show
them
that. Of your house with the water around.
So. Yeah, see, lakefront see property. Lakefront. we need a little shower though, just to wash off the dirt.
Yeah, the grass in some of our parts looks pretty bad. The, I know. The college could use a little washing of their soccer fields.
Yeah.
And so on.
So, but this time of year, I mean. A lot of people haven't even got their gardens in because of the weather, and now I assume people are having to get stuff to replant, aren't they?
Right, we do. We did get in some fresh tomato plants. They only have a certain shelf life, the tomatoes do, because they outgrow the little pots after a while. So we have to throw them out or plant them in the field somewhere and get some new ones in. We got some new ones in this week. So they look pretty nice, too.
Okay. But there'll be a lot going on, I know, in the gardening.
Yeah, I think the tomatoes are going to do pretty well. One thing we've got to watch out for, and I've seen this already on your boxwoods, are spider mites.
Really?
Oh, they're bad. Yeah.
So what do you do with those?
The neem oil will work.
Neem oil? So, yeah, go ahead and...
Just put it on your hose and sprayer and just...
Those stink. That neem oil stinks. You can smell it.
But it smells a lot better than a litter box.
Smell better than downtown Bartlesville this morning, too.
The last two or three mornings has been rough, hasn't it?
It has, because all the water that had been sitting all over the area. It was
we were working at somebody's yard, and it just stunk.
It stinks.
I thought I was going to get sick walking up the stairs this
morning. So if we get a little rain, that'll help wash that off.
Yeah, it'll wash it down. But it doesn't look like the rain chances are as extreme as they were.
No, I think we've only got about 30% today, don't we, Gary?
Yeah, the real significant rain chance is Monday. Yeah. I mean, I'm listening to Alan Crone this morning. He was saying something about the potential of there being some rain this afternoon, but it wasn't, like, likely. It was like hit or miss.
There's some real high clouds off to the northwest.
And our friends in Coffeyville, they've got their big celebration today that are listening today.
Okay.
So 150 years up there. They've got some trees that are 150 years old. Right?
Well, Coffeyville.
Yeah. Huh.
Do they have any Kentucky coffee trees?
I don't know, but I have two.
Yeah.
They don't grow as fast as I thought they would.
Yeah, they have they grow kind of fast when you're young, but they slow down when they get.
And they have a long trunk and then this thing on top.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
The tree with the unusual Latin name.
But it they say they're wonderful trees.
They're very good trees if you happen to get a male. The females have all these pods.
Oh, I don't know what I have.
Yeah, if you don't have pods, you got a male tree.
I will say this, the bald cypresses are loving this right now.
Oh, good golly. We planted one this week.
Oh, it loves it.
Yeah, they're just, I know, they're just dancing in the roots.
They love the water.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's the one it's a very adaptable tree, actually. I know. It can take drought really well. And we planted a bald cypress this last week, and she asked about the root system, and I said, when you water it infrequently and heavily, so the roots will go down.
You don't want knees.
Yeah, you get knees real bad. Yeah.
I know. You don't want the knees. Also, my bald cypresses have just loved this, and my live oaks look, they like this water.
Yeah, you need to get you some Spanish moss.
They're growing right now.
Finish off that look.
Spanish moss does sound pretty cool right about now.
Yeah. All right, Larry. We're going to let you keep going.
Sounds like your yard's doing pretty well.
It is. Fight those boars.
Looks like you're doing pretty well,
I'm doing
too.
Better.
Better than you were last week.
Yep.
Doing a little better. Okay.
I was about to list off the phone number. It looks like we already got a call.
There we go.
So I think we'll go ahead and just
take your call,
on the air. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Can you tell me who was the birthday winner?
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
Can you tell me who was the birthday winner?
Something. Oh, the birthday winner? Okay, let me put you on hold, and we'll get you that information, okay?
Okay.
Calling about our birthday club winning.
Okay, well, good.
And if you do have any gardening questions for Larry Glass... Feel free to call us at 918-336-1400.
Everybody has a birthday, and it's a big day.
It is. I think, at least several birthdays today.
Really?
Yes, and an anniversary.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, we're talking about spider mites and things on your boxwoods. They can be a bit of a problem. Don't forget your dwarf Alberta spruce. They are very susceptible to spider mites, especially if they're on the west side of the house. And as we have some sunshine over here, it warms up the stone or the brick or the wood on the west side of your house. The mites really like that. So watch them very carefully. And you can take a piece of paper like this and shake the branches of the plant on top of the paper and look at it real closely. If you see a whole lot of little bitty red or black specks walking around on your paper, then you've got mites. And they're so hard to see. A lot of times when you have a problem, it's too late. They've already done their dirty work. So anyway, watch out for those on the boxwoods and on the dwarf Alberta spruce. The mites are real bad on those. They're fairly easy to control. Actually, I have boxwoods at my house, and I just use soapy water on occasion and keeps them under control.
Okay.
Pretty easy to do.
What else should people be doing in the garden right now?
Oh, golly, annuals. Still time to plant annuals. We've not had a really hot summer so far, so they're doing quite well. I mentioned earlier, the periwinkles, they're a little late to come out. Some of them are kind of yellow here and there, and they just don't like wet, cool weather. So I don't see any incident of rot yet. It's warm enough to where we're not going to get the rot, I think, on the periwinkles, but after it warms up fairly consistently, we should have some more favorable appearance on your annual periwinkles. They're a hot, dry thing. They really don't like the wet.
What other plants are you going to be seeing some favorable colors for?
You're going to have some problems with lace bugs on your azaleas also. And another thing with azaleas is, with all this rain, is the chlorosis can be a bit of a problem too. So if you do have that yellowing of the leaves, you might want to give it some magnesium sulfate or aluminum sulfate or iron sulfate, something with the sulfur in it, to keep that pH low around your azaleas.
Okay.
Elephant ears are loving this, too.
Everything's loving the rain.
Mine at home, or you can watch them grow. I mean, they're really taking off. So, anyway, so annuals are a vital part in the landscape. They add color all summer. So right now, you want to probably plant the larger size annuals because the root system is more established, and they'll take and do a lot better than the little tiny ones. We still have some of the six-pack of the annuals. But in light of the upcoming weather and the upcoming temperatures, it's very mild, comparatively speaking, if you can still put in the six packs and still get some establishment. So,
okay.
One of my favorite annuals is the Sun Coleus. It gives you these big leaved plant. It's got the colored leaves on it. They'll be red or speckled pink and white and red or yellow colored leaves on them. And they put on a really big show in the landscape, and nothing really seems to bother them.
What other annuals do you like?
I like those. We have a variety of zinnia, a dwarf zinnia plant, that's performed real well for me in the past and done very well in the garden. And the sun patients, if you plant them near an irrigation head, they should do just fine. They do like a bit of water. And these giant begonias. We have the regular little begonias, but there's some angel wing begonias, which are really quite large, and they put on a really big show, especially in the sun. So anyway, there's a lot of cool stuff out there.
And we are talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on the Green Country Gardener. I think we'll take a real quick break, and we'll be right back.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Get these bargains of the month at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Spring has awakened your flowers and lawn, but that's not all it has awakened. The creepy crawlies are also out. So defend yourself with Cutter Outdoor Bug Control Pack that includes a 32-ounce backyard spray, a 16-ounce fogger, insect repellent, and Citro Guard candle for $24.97 at Peter's True Value. Peter's has Ortho Home Defense. Get a 10-pound bag of insect killer granules, 32-ounce ready-to-spray insect killer, or 32-ounce insect killer concentrate for just $5.99 each after a $3 instant rebate. Hurry in while supplies last at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Here's a unique idea to attract customers to your business. Schedule consumer calls on the road to come to your business. Call your sales representative at 336-1001 and we'll come to you with consumer calls on the road. We'll broadcast a live remote at your business and watch the results as the traffic flows in. Don't have a sales representative? No problem. Just give us a call at 336-1001 and we'll gladly set you up with one of our finest and get you connected fast. Host one of the most listened to programs from 9:10 until noon on Saturday and have your business buzzing in no time. We'd love to make your business our next stop, so give us a call. Consumer Calls on the Road is a superb way to bring in customers to your business.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener programming here on the radio on this Saturday morning. Joining me now is the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. If you have any gardening questions for Larry, give us a call at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, those numbers are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, you were telling me your lawn has been doing really well lately.
Yes. It's time to raise the mower blade up a notch.
Okay.
On your yard. As summer progresses, you want to raise it on your Bermuda grass, you want to raise it up a little bit and sharpen it. I noticed my lawn looked a little bruised after mowing it this time, so I gotta take the blade off and sharpen it up, get it ready for the next go round in between storms this coming week. So raise the mower up a little bit and make sure the blade is good and sharp. Look at the tips of your grass, and if it's not really a good smooth cut, perhaps you need to have that mower blade sharpened or sharpen it. I use a bench grinder on it, works fine, and it's very important to balance that blade too when you do it. So they've got little things that look like tops, kind of. They're a blade balancer, and it'll get it so when you run, you don't have all this shaking, and it won't bend the crankshaft on your motor. So
you want your mower to work.
So you want to balance it real well. So anyways, it's probably time to do that on your mower, because mm-hmm. I sharpened mine last winter, and it's showing signs that it needs to be done. Also, check the oil in it and your air cleaner, too. I had to put a new air cleaner in mine.
How frequently should you do all these things?
It depends on the machine itself a lot of times, but as far as sharpening the blade, you just want to check it on occasion. Usually the drier it is, the more sand gets kicked up in there, and it dulls the blade pretty quickly. So just check on it. The best thing I can do is check on it and just check your fluid levels, and you should do okay.
Okay. What else should people be doing in their yards?
Fertilizing. I gave mine before this last bout of rain, last round of Jose Cuervo. I gave it some fertilizer, some nitrogen fertilizer, and some iron sulfate. And it's a real deep green color. And the Bermuda grass is starting to fill in after years and years of crabgrass damage. Well, I finally defeated the crabgrass. And now it's starting to take over and fill in real nicely. So you want to, and you probably want to do another crabgrass application. I did that on mine last week. Because of all the rain, just diluted the crabgrass control you put on. You might want to consider putting on another application. If you do get an outbreak, it more likely it'll be closer to the edge or close to where it wears out. I mean, where it washes out a lot. And just because of the quantity of rain we had, the solution that used to prevent the crabgrass is diluted somewhat, and it'll be less effective.
And you should do this at least once a week, or?
Well, once a year. Typically, it's done once a year in around St. Patrick's Day, and it has a 3-month lifespan. This year, I did another application just to be sure, so I don't have to fight with that stuff again. So
you already have fought that battle. Right?
No, I have no crabgrass this year. Yay! But anyway,
right.
And a good healthy lawn, and the birds don't seem to be adversely affected by what I use, so it works rather well.
And we do have a call on the line, Larry.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll go ahead and take that call. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener Show. How can we help you on this Saturday?
Yes. What do you recommend on Bermuda lawns for fertilizer? I did one. I've only done one.
So for fertilizer? You do a like a 10-20-10 in the spring and the fall, say the end of March or so, and then
I'm talking fertilizer.
Fertilizer, right. 10-20-10 in the spring and the fall. And then nitrogen applications throughout the summer, light applications of nitrogen on a monthly basis during the summer.
Number?
I use a 3400 in my yard.
Oh, okay.
But not a lot. Just to maintain the nitrogen levels. It's going to use up the nitrogen a lot faster than it does the phosphorus and the potassium. So that's why we do a booster shot of P and K in the spring and the fall, and just nitrogen applications to maintain it in the summer.
And the iron stuff. Does that come with it?
Can what's that now? You got cut out. I didn't quite hear that.
Oh, sorry. The iron that you added.
The iron, I use just an iron supplement. You can get it separately. There's several.
Oh, it's separate.
Yeah, you can get several means to do that. And what I do is I get the what we have at the nursery, iron sulfate, and just put that in the hopper, the spreader, and mix it up.
And that you can mix it with the fertilizer?
Yeah, it's a powder. It'll cling to the fertilizer pretty well. And then just apply that to it, and it'll help darken that color.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
And if you have any other questions for Larry Glass, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Yes, the people with the greenest lawns have the most orange sidewalks. from the iron. So if you don't want that, you get your leaf blower out after you put the fertilizer on so you don't get orange sidewalks.
Follow the orange brick road.
The orange brick road, you have a pretty green lawn. I guess it makes the grass look greener, I guess. but it will change the color of your sidewalk.
Hey, if it's worth it, green grass. It's worth it, right?
Yeah, and it takes forever for the orange stain to go away because it is iron.
You know, I almost would prefer kind of that orange color anyway, I think, as opposed to like the gray of the sidewalk, you know?
Well, perhaps. It does have a kind of
color.
A nice look to it, yeah.
Makes your green pop, too.
I did some work on my patio, and I had this part of the patio I took out. I sawed it and then chiseled out some of the cement, and it was about 16 inches deep at that point. Big, huge cement block that I finally got it severed from the sidewalk so I could put my brick on the outside edge. And it was so heavy, I couldn't hardly lift it. So I rolled it and rolled it and rolled it into the bed and wet it down real good, put some iron sulfate on it, let it sit a while. Then water it again and put a little hydrated lime here and there to change. And it looks just like a sandstone boulder.
So I
didn't have to get rid of it.
That's good.
So that will permanent, and it hasn't changed. It's been that way for 5 years, and it hasn't changed its color at all.
So maybe just be a little bit careful when applying then.
So, yeah, and sweep it off or blow it off or something, and then it'll won't be as orange. But I have a spot on my driveway where it spilled it on there.
Maybe just put a tarp down or something if you're really worried about it.
No, just a leaf blower.
Oh, leaf blower.
Just to blow the fertilizer off and don't get it wet. Then you can water it into the grass. So, and hope it doesn't rain too much so that it all seep down.
Yeah. And it look like watercolors kind of in a way?
Now, there is a type of iron that doesn't stain called ironite. I think they got it at Atwood's, at least they used to. And it is an iron that doesn't stain.
So. Is it as effective, though?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We do have a call, Larry. We'll go ahead and take that really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Larry, I'd like to know, I don't have a plant question, but do you still have your hummingbirds?
You still have hummingbirds?
At my house?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of them. Lots of them, yes.
Oh, well, I live in Lenapaw, and we had hummingbirds, but since all this rain came in, we haven't seen any at all.
No, they just flutter around all over the place. I got tons of flowers, and they like that. And do you have hummingbird feeders?
I think we lost her.
Oh.
We do have another call on the line, though.
Okay, put them on. Yeah. Anyway, to track hummingbirds, plant some flowers around the yard and maybe a feeder or two. Okay, we got a caller?
We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Good morning. I got a couple of questions for the gardening guru.
Huh.
About my lawn, by the way, there don't seem to be very many hummingbirds this year. I don't know why. I've got three feeders in the backyard, but hardly ever see any.
Really?
And that's really kind of strange. We have some friends that used to live out in the country, and they had dozens of the things flitting all over. But anyhow, my call this morning has to do with lawn. I've tried to reseed my front lawn. I live in the older part of downtown.
Right.
I've tried to reseed my front lawn. I raked the soil, got all the debris and stuff off of it. Then I raked it again to loosen the soil. And then I scattered seed by hand. I guess I've got 4 or 5 bags of seed. This lawn's only like 60 by 80, something like that. But in any case, there's part of it that just doesn't seem to grow. The seed that I planted, I use different kinds. I use some shade-tolerant seed where it's really shady, and some partially shady seed. All those things came up fine, but where I have what should be Bermuda, nothing's coming up.
Huh.
And these things are in the shade of juniper trees part of the day in the morning, but in the afternoon it gets hot and dry, especially in the summer it gets hot and dry there, and I figured Bermuda is the only thing that really would make it good.
Right.
The ryegrass and fescues and everything like that would be okay in the partial shade.
Okay.
That sort of thing. But what do you suggest that I do next to try to make this ground fertile again?
First thing I would do was do a chemical analysis of the soil to determine your pH. A lot of times under juniper plants or historically downtown, they've been under big trees since 1907. and the soil, the pH could be a bit too low. When plants are lethargic like that and you fertilize them and everything else, they just don't do anything. Chances are you're running a bit acidic on your soil.
A bit acidic. Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Yeah, that is low pH. Okay.
So I would check. Right. I would check that first. And if you have a situation where it's partially shaded and it gets a little bit warm now and then, you might consider zoysia as a lawn turf or as a turf grass in that area.
Okay. I take it I'd have to buy turf to put that in. They don't sell zoysia seed, I don't think, do they?
Well, you can get zoysia seed, but it seems real expensive, but really when it's all said and done, it's a lot less than sod. You can also plug the zoysia too. And you don't have to buy those plugs on the back page of the comic book. You can just get some zoysia and break it up into pieces and plug it in the ground.
Okay, you guys got to do that out there?
We really don't. No.
Green Thumb Nursery?
It's really perishable, okay. So we don't carry that.
All right. Hey, by the way, good news on two fronts. My fig that I bought from you, I think, 3 years ago is coming up gangbusters this year.
Yes.
Nothing's more than about 2 feet tall so far. But, boy, I got at least a dozen shoots coming up out of the roots after this really cold winter. I was afraid I'd lost it.
They have a way of surviving.
I had it mulched pretty well.
Yeah.
The second thing is of good interest is I have an elephant ear that I planted last year. Uh-huh. That thing, I've got pictures of that thing. It's got huge leaves and it's taller than I am. And I'm 5'8", 5'9", something like that.
Mm.
Beautiful thing. But anyhow, it all turned to mush, on the first three.
Yeah, like they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they up again?
We got three little baby elephant ear leaves coming up in the spot where it was. So apparently there's still something alive down there.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to have to throw it away.
They can survive, yes. Uh-huh.
They survived. Yes, it's amazing that it survived the winter.
Yeah, I always dig mine up and put them in a basket in the garage, and they do very well.
I'll do that this year.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Go ahead and
do
a chemical test. Take it up to extension agent. You'll find out what's down there. And then look at the soil and see how easy it is to dig a hole in it, too. If it's really compacted, you might consider adding some organic material to the soil.
Well, I did that. I added organic material.
Okay.
I raked it in, sort of thing.
Was it compost or something of that nature? Was it a compost you added to the soil?
Yes, compost.
Okay. Right. It's already decomposed. Okay, cool. Sounds to me like then that this is just a slightly acidic, or maybe enough to where the grass won't grow.
I see. Okay, all right.
All right.
What about if I add baking soda to it?
Well, baking soda is pretty hot, so you be very careful about that. Agricultural lime is the best way. But you really want to have some knowledge before you put something down, just so you know how much and what to put down.
Okay, get some data before I start amending. Okay, thank you much.
All right, thank you. Appreciate for calling.
It. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Keep up the good work. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener.
All right.
Spring has arrived. And like clockwork, Green Thumb Nursery has their new shipment of trees and shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants in. And they now have their new shipment of herbs in, too. Head to Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5. And be sure to ask about a custom new landscape design plan. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
Say, Myrtle, look out there in the pantry. Ain't that cute?
What's cute?
Your new shelf paper with all that cute little fellers on them. The ants acting like you're going to a picnic carrying all that food.
You darn fool, put your glasses on, because them there are real ants moving about.
Well, I'll be. Look, there's one crawling up my pant leg.
I'm going to call Pratt Pass to Bartlesville right now.
We can't get ants out of your pants, but we sure can get them out of your pantry. Call 918-336-BUGS. That's 918-336-2847 for Pratt Pest of Bartlesville.
When the skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides you with complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using radar reports and live on the scene from our Washington County Emergency Management Team and our trained weather spotters, also meteorologists from the KOTV News on 6, dedicated to keeping you and your family safe. Keep a battery-operated radio close at hand, and when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune in to K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Wrecker Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Green Country Restoration, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Hughes Lumber Company, the Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage.
And it's 8:57. I'm your host, Garrett Giles, and being with us is Larry Glass. We're going to take another really quick break, and we'll kind of wrap up the show here, tell people what's going on at Green Thumb Nursery and everything that you need to know before we come back on next week. We'll be right back.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
It's the next step in staying connected with you as your main news and information source. Breaking news, headlines, and severe weather is now as close as your cell phone with K1 Text. You get the latest information on your radio, quick access on your computer, and now on your cell phone with K1 Text, brought to you by Lucas Metalworks. It's easy to sign up. Just go to BartlesvilleRadio.com, click on the link for the sign-up page, and choose your options. Severe weather warnings, amber alerts, sports cores, and more. K1 Text on Bartlesville Radio, a service of this radio station and Lucas Metalworks.
And we want to thank you for listening to the Green Country Gardener this morning. Larry Glass has been with us for about an hour. And Larry, where can people find you at?
Hey, we're over at Green Thumb Nursery, 4605 Nowata Road. Garrett, come on out and get some stuff.
How can people get in contact with you? Do you have a phone number that people can reach you at?
918-333-4091. And keep your shovel sharp.
We'll see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON.